I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, provided life doesn't get in the way every once in a while, but we're here for you most Monday through Fridays. Today we're coming to you after an amazing 95-94 win over the Toronto Raptors, Celtics winning their 12th straight game. 12 straight wins. I don't know how they're doing it. No Kyrie, no Hayward, obviously. And the Celtics just went off and beat the Toronto Raptors. So we are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard, here to celebrate and break it all down for you. So just, wow. Tale of two halves, Sam. First half was kind of and the second half, they just turned it on.
Yeah, no, it was really the third quarter where they made most of their progress. It was a really kind of an ugly game that felt like it was being played Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Not a lot of energy from either team, not a lot of great plays. First half, they really didn't make that many shots. But you're right, in the second half, the defense really ratcheted up. They caused a lot more turnovers, and they came up with the big plays at the end. And looking at the fourth quarter, each team, it was a ugly fourth quarter. Felt like a lot of teams missed. Or both teams missed a bunch of shots. Each team scored 18 points in the fourth, which is a low-scoring quarter. But, hey, they found a way to pull it out in the end. DeMar DeRozan tonight, it seems like the Raptors' entire offense was, let's let DeMar DeRozan switch on to someone other than Jaylen Brown, because Jaylen Brown was kind of swarming him, and then let him take a contested mid-range shot. And DeRozan finished 8 for 22, and that was like their entire offense in the fourth quarter. So even though there was that foul where Jason Tatum's elbow caught Fred VanVleet's face and they gave the Raptors the ball back. You know what? It was just another DeRozan long contested mid-range, and surprise, surprise, it didn't go in. The Celtics just did enough to win. I feel like they have to have some sort of good luck charm. It doesn't make sense of how they've won all of these games. Like this combined with the game on Friday night against the Hornets, they're blessed by something.
Yeah, it's just wild. That Hornets game, I have no clue how they won that game. No clue, because you look at that, at how that game went and what Charlotte, the lead that Charlotte had. Yeah, you can say the Celtics played great defense against the Hornets and they held Charlotte to the 3 points over the first 9 minutes and blah, blah, blah. But Charlotte was basically playing the Red Claws down that stretch. They should have won the game, but they didn't. Those guys that the Celtics had on the floor stepped up and did an amazing job. And in the third quarter, when the Celtics needed to come out strong, they did. The third quarter, to me, belonged to Marcus Smart. He did basically everything. Jaylen Brown had a 10-point third quarter, but to me, Marcus Smart was really the story, where not only did he have 8 points, and he had a stretch where he hit a couple of threes and had an assist, and basically accounted for some sort of impact on the first bunch of points. I forget exactly what the number was, but 8 points, 4 assists in the quarter for Smart. He was really one of the big stories in that third quarter. And then Al Horford had a stretch. Everybody kind of took turns. Jaylen had a stretch. It just every time the Celtics need somebody to step up, somebody somewhere does. And then in the fourth quarter, it was like Daniel Tice went off he was just in the middle of everything. He didn't have a lot of points, but he was in the middle of everything. And we got to give Danny Ainge credit again, because basically every move that he made over the summer has paid off. Trading the picks, getting Tatum instead of Fultz has paid off big. Aaron Baines opting out and basically having no market and falling into the Celtics' lap has worked out. You know, Daniel Tice, Shane Larkin, picking up Ojale, getting Yabusele, like all of these guys somehow, somewhere, Jabari Bird had an impact in one of the wins. Like everything has panned out. Everything's coming up Millhouse for Danny Ainge this year.
Yeah, and they especially that was highlighted in this game was that the last year's deadline, everyone on Twitter, Celtics Twitter included, clamoring to trade for Serge Ibaka. And the joke is that he wouldn't throw in Tito because he knew it's not a joke anymore. He knew how valuable Terry Rozier was. And today, Rozier had more points and more rebounds than Serge Ibaka. You're right. It's just each player took turns kind of making big plays tonight. And you're right. I think Marcus comes away being the best. It was interesting. That was the kind of the thing I was interested in seeing the most was how Marcus Smart and Al Horford would run pick and roll and kind of how Marcus would operate as a playmaker just because he was starting for Kyrie. And I thought he did a great job. 9 assists tonight. But the Celtics, even in the first half, they were getting decent looks. They just weren't falling. I thought they had there were some points where the ball movement wasn't great, but I thought they were like generating the decent looks, getting side to side. And a lot of that was facilitation from Marcus Smart. So I thought he did a really good job. And then, you know, it's just the return, like having Al Horford back in the lineup, returning from the concussion. He's a impact player on both ends, and he's just very good. The rate at which he's hitting three pointers has made him virtually like unguardable on the, if he catches the ball with space on the 3-point line, it's really difficult because you have to contest because he's making all his threes, but then he's gotten so good at attacking those closeouts. And he had a couple dunks tonight where it's just like, I don't know what you do if you're a defender, cause you have to close out cause you don't want him a wide open three, but it's just like, you can't close out that hard. He's going to take two steps and be by you immediately. So it's just great to see him back in the lineup with his just all-around performance. Team high, 21 points tonight. But you know what? It's just it's absurd, and I don't know if the Celtics will ever lose again.
They may not. They may never. I want to give a shout-out to Austin Ainge for subtweeting Sam Packard and basically giving life to the Tito phenomenon. I understand where Austin Ainge was coming from, and it's certainly not a knock on him. He's great. But it was an absolute misstep if he wanted to not have somebody be called a nickname to come out on Twitter and say, please don't call him this. Just lit a match, poured gasoline onto the fire, and Tito has taken off. You, Sam, wanted to make Tito a movement. Everybody is on board now. Everywhere I turn, it's Tito, Tito, Tito.
I don't know about everybody. We still got a lot of work to do, but you're right. The revolution has started. We even got Jake King tweeting Tito Three Sticks during the game. The kid has joined the revolution. So shouts to Austin Ainge for all the support. I mean, I understood if he actually thought it was a genuine mistake and that people just were mishearing people calling him Tiro, which is a terrible nickname. That's Tito terrible. Is way better.
It is bad.
But, I mean, a lot of help. It just really, really brought a lot of eyes to the situation, and everyone's just been very supportive, and it's fantastic. It's you walk in and people just, hey, Sam, or there goes Jam, the Tito guy. And it's just, you feel proud, you know?
Yeah, I would feel proud if I was you as well.
But let's talk about what Tito actually did during the game. Brad Stevens mentioned this. He had some huge plays, especially at the end of the half, the end of the third quarter, the end of the half where he gets in the lane and then does his absurd, I'm the best rebounding guard in basketball, jumping to get his own miss, kicks it out, and then draws the 4-point play to end the half, kind of get the Celtics very close. And then the very quick three to end the third quarter is just like free 6 points. It's a huge thing to go have that swing. I thought he played phenomenally tonight. What was it? 16 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Like over this past week, he's just turned in very good games. He's been phenomenal. He's a good, like, if there wasn't some guy like Marcus Smart also in that kind of weird six-man role, I feel like Rozier would have, like, a lot of six-man of the year talk just because he's been great off the bench. His first step is so explosive when he's attacking the basket. He's just doing a really good job of making plays. And his step-back three, my God, I have more confidence in his 3-point shot if it's after one of his step backs, just because he feels that just like feels in rhythm for him at this point. So he like, and defensively, I saw a bunch of people tweeting about this in the game. He's just a menace. He is so quick and so so much of a pest that he's generating a lot of steals, a lot of deflections. It's just the Celtics' depth is not something that I thought like this team, like what we'd be talking about. I didn't think we'd be talking about a 12-game win streak, but it's really been led by this amazing depth that they have, where you just have guys like Rozier, Smart, Marcus Morris, Tice coming off the bench and just making positive plays. No one's had like a really bad game save for Shane Larkin at the start of the Hornets game. Like there's just the contributions from the bench are pretty surprising to me. And yeah, like you said, give credit to Danny Ainge, because he's the one who put these guys together.
It blows my mind. It blows my mind how good these guys have been. Look, I want to give a shout out to Tito myself, because one of the questions that we got a lot was, what's his impact going to be? What's Rozier going to be this season? And I've been kind of critical of him, where I was like, you know, good playoffs, terrible regular season last year, sandwiched in between good preseason, good playoffs, and then came in, good preseason this year, and I was like, you know, I got to see it. I got to see it in the regular season. And to his credit, he's showing it. He has stepped up and has shown that he needs to be a regular. He deserves minutes. He's a regular contributor. He's a rotation guy and an impact player. He comes in and still occasionally goes off for the fancy layups that he misses, but he's mostly been really good. So I gotta give Terry Rozier a shout out. You know, Tito's been really good and really important for this team this season. So good on him. Let's discuss Al Horford. Let's really give Al Horford his due, because on Twitter, HP Basketball, Matt Moore said, and I know people will hear that and say, oh God, trolling, hates the Celtics, whatever. But he said on Twitter perfectly that Al Horford was great in all of his years in Atlanta, but right now, this is peak Al Horford. This Al Horford that we're seeing, and I really do believe this Al Horford that we're seeing right now is the best overall that I've seen Al Horford play. He is aggressive. He is dunking on people. He seems to have a little bit more fire, and he's hitting a ton of threes. I mean, this dude, the only thing that stopped him from hitting threes was the initial stages of a concussion.
Yeah, he looks more explosive. He looks more bouncy. He's doing guarding on the perimeter. He's guarding on the interior. Tonight, I just looked at his box score. He was the team leading scorer, 21 points on 8 of 9 shooting. He only missed one shot. Like, that's incredibly impressive. He's to come back from a concussion and just be like super good immediately. You're right. I didn't see this like jump happening. Like I. Believe us, we talked about how great Al Horford was all last season, but it feels like, I don't know, playing with renewed energy, playing with new anger. I don't know what the motivating factor is, but this is the best basketball I've ever seen him play, and he's been consistent, and it's just great to see, because he does everything for the Celtics. In times when the offense doesn't really get it going, you know, you can just like kind of give it to Al in the post, and he will, one, be patient enough to wait for the right play, and then just always makes the right play or the right pass. It's just, yeah, he's been great, and it's hilarious that people were calling him average just like a week and a half ago.
I know. That whole thing, you know, sorry, Lou Marloney, but that's another thing that we, as we've discussed in the show before, that's something that's going to stick. Tito is starting to stick. Tito 3 Sticks is sticking, and Average Al is becoming the kind of sort of, I guess, what you call it, like an ironic nickname, because he has been very much above Average Al. In fact, All-Star Al is what he's been. I just think his impact, more than anything, during this streak, I mean, what stands out? Al Horford's impact on this team. His shooting, his three-point shooting has been outrageous. But, I mean, he missed a couple of games. Like, he missed time, and they still won. Kyrie missed games. They still won. Hayward's been missing from the beginning. They're still winning. Like, I don't know. I can't put my finger on anything other than everybody who's out there is just playing their ass off. Even when they go through bad stretches, everybody is trying. No one has really kind of had that, well, we're going to take today off kind of mentality. Right? Have you seen how many you haven't seen a full game of the Celtics going, whatever, schedule loss, forget it. They've been playing. They've been working hard. Everybody that's gotten in the game has been at least trying to do something. Maybe through some stretches trying too hard, maybe try to do too much. But I guess this is all just a big credit to Brad Stevens that he's getting these guys ready to play, and he's got these guys out there every day doing what they're supposed to be doing. Al Horford, when he's in, is being awesome. Everybody who gets in is being awesome. You know, Semi Ojeleye had one bad game, and he comes in, he makes an impact no matter what. Shane Larkin, who I thought was going to get cut when he was initially signed, I thought he was just going to be a guy that they looked at in preseason. It was like, that's it. He makes an impact. Like, everybody, Daniel Tice comes in and makes an impact. Everybody on this team had something to do with this win. It's mind-blowing. I can't believe it, really, honestly. That's the best thing I can say.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you brought up Stevens, because after the Isaiah trade, one of the big questions is like, what is the culture of this team? Like, what is the identity of the team going to be? And it was one of the big questions I had, is how is this team going to gel together? But I feel like in retrospect, we very much ignored kind of the institutional culture of the Boston Celtics organization and just the structure in place with Stevens coaching staff and Ainge having just running the organization of just like a commitment to winning and playing the right way, and like classic Brad Stevens, like the growth mindset of just like trying to get better each day. So I think Stevens deserves a lot of credit, and I think he's getting a lot of credit. I think everyone's already penciled him in for Coach of the Year. I couldn't agree more after 14 games, but just the fact that everyone has come in, and you're right, there's never been a game with lacking effort. A game, sure, there's been quarters, there's been down quarters where certain players have not played well, but it's kind of like there's someone else on the roster to pick them up, and they're never giving up. We'll see that on the Charlotte game and especially with the way this team wins games. They're not the most efficient offensive team. They're not, especially in the half court offense. I still think they have a lot to improve upon, but if you're going to become and bring effort and defensive and especially on the defensive end each night, you're going to put yourself in a position to win a lot of basketball games. And it feels like that's what the Celtics are doing. It's like, well, our shots aren't falling. We don't know exactly what to do. Let's lock down defensively. And eventually we'll get some transition baskets. We'll get into a more of a rhythm. And that's the kind of, I know this is wild hyperbole, but it's kind of like the way championship basketball teams are built. Unless you're the Warriors. The Warriors have a great defense, but they're really amazing because they can score. But traditionally, a champion, like teams that are can kind of go deep in the playoffs, are teams that are really built on their defense, teams that can get stops when they need them. And that's what the Boston Celtics feel like right now. They're just a very good defensive team, and I haven't seen anyone really come in and get able to consistently get like open looks against them. And tonight the Raptors kind of helped them out by just forcing the ball to DeMar DeRozan in the mid-range, but I thought the Celtics did a tremendous job switching, getting in passing lanes. They're just pick and roll defense, I think, it has been very good, and a lot of that has to do with Al Horford. Like, if you bring Al Horford as the help man over in the pick and roll, this is not a great thing to do if you're that offense. You're just basically bringing a very good defender into the play. So I don't know what the final point of this long-winded rant was, but I think it's pro Stevens and pro Celtics.
So look, let's be honest here, let's look at when you have a 12 game win streak, when especially this team right now, you gotta go back a little bit and say, it starts at the very top, where the Celtics ownership group has allowed their team, Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, the players, to do what they're supposed to do. And you look around the league and you see the involvement of owners that are meddling or distracting or whatever. It starts there. The Celtics are none of those things. The Celtics ownership group has decided to let – they put the right people in the right places and they let them do their job. So that's step one. They're willing to pay the money and all of that stuff. Then the next step down, Danny Ainge, who has taken a ton of crap from people, but in the end, despite what all the people said, and I'm sure people have told him, seen it, whatever, all of the crap about not trading the picks, he finally made the trade, and it was the right trade. Even when people doubted him, people like me, doubted some of the moves, and we said, geez, you better be right, Danny. Well, guess what? He's right. The moves that he made from the beginning, basically trading away both Brooklyn picks, okay? The first pick in the draft that he had to go down and get Tatum and get either the Lakers or the Kings pick, however that conveys, whatever. So he moved down and he got Tatum. That seems to be working out very nicely. He traded the Brooklyn pick with, you know, in the Isaiah trade. Again, the ownership allowed him to do that. They didn't worry about, oh, we're going to sell tickets. Are we going to lose popularity? Are we going to piss people off? Just let him do his job there. Trades Isaiah, makes this deal, and all of a sudden it works out beautifully. Okay? All of the guys, Tatum, going back to drafting Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is playing amazingly well. Doesn't always shoot the best. He still has a lot of things to work on. But, man, that guy is a very key player on this defense. And so, and I mentioned a lot of the other smaller signings that he's hit on throughout the summer. And then you go down to Brad Stevens, who basically says, you do what you do best, and we will figure out how to use you. You don't have to do what Ty Lue is doing to Kevin Love and saying, well, you do a lot of things well, but we need you to be this. You know, like that to me, or my favorite is Mike D'Antoni, who can win when he's got the right players. Man, he looks like a great coach. When he doesn't have the right players.
When he's on the Knicks.
Yeah. But look, he has a style, and he needs the players to fit that style. And I, in a very cagey way, use a cooking analogy to say when he's got the right ingredients, man, he can make a fettuccine Alfredo like nobody's business. But he's got to have the ingredients for a fettuccine Alfredo. If you don't give him those ingredients, then he can't cook anything else. So, okay, great. You make the best fettuccine Alfredo in the world. Fantastic. When I want that, I'll go to you. When I've got those ingredients, I'll go to you. But when I got just a bunch of things that Brad Stevens, guy like Stevens, a guy like Greg Popovich, you say, here's ground beef, onions, here's a few other things. And they go, huh, okay, I can make this, this, and this with these ingredients. It's not the other way around. It's not give me these ingredients and I'll make you a dish. Here are your ingredients. And he says, okay, I'll whip something up for you. And it's always good. Like, that's the difference between Brad Stevens and everybody else. And then, yeah, he does that. And then you go down to the players. They go out and they execute. They just go out there, whoever's on the floor, that next man up, they all execute. They do what they're supposed to do. And so they've constructed this team of a bunch of guys who can switch, a bunch of guys who are tall enough to contest shots but athletic enough to switch and not foul. They can go out and they can rebound now. A guy like Tice comes in and gets – how many rebounds did Tice get tonight? Eight rebounds. That's
huge. Two blocks, too.
And a couple of blocks. And that second block was amazing. Amazing range to get over and reach out and block that shot. Like, everybody who comes in does what they're supposed to do. So it's just from top to bottom over the span of more than a year. It's all come together and come together perfectly with a little bit of luck, you know, a little bit of help from some other teams that have been doing stupid things, forcing a few things. But still, when you look at a 12-game win streak like this, it starts from the top and it goes all the way down and everybody involved has a significant impact. And I just love it. I just love seeing that because this is exactly what you're supposed to be. And who knows what it turns into. You would hope that at some point it turns into a championship, but it's hard to win a championship, and you need luck. And so we'll see how that all pans out. But, man, they've put so much together so soon, and it's come together so well. So everybody in the organization deserves credit.
Even us. I feel like we're doing this 12-game winning streak, too. It's been a while since we talked about a loss, and I feel like we're trying to be as objective as possible. But you're right. It's you can't complain after 12 losses. There's literally, I'm trying to like rack my brain right now of like a possible negative to say about this Boston Celtics team, and I got nothing.
Yeah. Only thing I got is, Jalen, don't bite on the pump fake so much.
That was the one he fouled DeMar DeRozan on. That was a double pump fake, and he was very frustrated with himself. It was crafty as hell. Yeah. I'll give I've crapped on DeRozan for this entire podcast, but like he is very talented and like very crafty with those moves. And after the game, I just saw a tweet that said Jaylen Brown said he assumed that DeRozan would make that shot like 9 out of 10 times. I thought it was going in as well. You're right. The luck definitely plays into kind of a winning streak like that, but also you have to be able to take advantage of like your lucky opportunities and turn those into wins. And you know what? Marcus Smart, of course, was in there grabbing the offensive rebound to make sure that nothing would go back up. It's just, I don't know. I'm assuming they win against the Brooklyn Nets on Tuesday.
That's where you get stuck. That's where you get into trouble. Don't assume.
Well, not with this team. There's no such thing as a trap game. They just they'll find a way to win. Seriously, if you look at their schedule after the Golden State game, if they can get through Golden State, I'm going to say 20. I'm saying it's going to go to 20. If they get past Golden State undefeated, they'll have 20. They'll get to a 20 game win streak.
Man,
I'm calling it right now.
That would be sick. I can't imagine. My rational side says that can't happen. That this team,
it's a 12 game win streak. Give in to irrational thinking.
I know. Anyway, let's be Brad. One game at a time. Let's stay in the moment. Not too high, not too low.
We just need to look forward to tomorrow's off day podcast and try to improve on that.
Why don't we get to some tweets with the Rain and Jays hashtag before we do the junk drawer and Rain and Junk and wrap this up?
Oh, sir, you forgot his whole segment.
Oh, and the boat.
Because we had some controversy on the boat this
week. We have to talk about Aaron Bain's big Australian boat. We will save that for the end. But let's rip through some tweets. We ask you to use the hashtag RainandJays on Twitter, which so many of you do. So we will just go right from top to bottom here. And at Diogenes of SC. Oh, he's replying to Anna Horford. Rain and Jays need to get you on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We would love to have Anna on. I know she was on a different one. She's addressing all that stuff. Whatever. But we'll have Anna on at some point.
I feel like I've tweeted at her too much about how attractive I think her brother is. So I don't know if she's going to be dying to come on the podcast. But you know what? If she does, I'll ask her about how attractive her brother is.
I'll ask her to come on. She may require one of the John and Jay shows.
But yeah, that's fair. It'd be for the better of the show. The fans would enjoy it.
We'll see about that. Ben Gates, Tito Three Sticks. Hell, I'll call him Jesus if he keeps playing like this.
Oh, I've not seen that one. Yeah, that's a good tweet.
That's a good one. Zach Jones at Ellis Jones _4. Captain of the SS Stevens duck boat has to be Tito. Three times distilled. I love it. I tweeted out a Tito's vodka. And here, my favorite thing, I didn't realize it. I just making a joke about Tito because I was just trying to hit on Tito as much as I could after the Austin Ainge stuff. I didn't realize that Tito's vodka was made in Austin, Texas. So on the Tito's joke vodka thing that I made, there's an Austin on there. So that was completely inadvertent. Is not trying to call him out.
See, that's what happens in a 12-game win streak. Just good things.
Good things just happen. Luckily, come together. Oh, man. Alex at Straight No Chaser. 12 straight for the C's. Got my kid on TV, introduced by TV Abby, Abby Chin. So I'd say today was a good day with requisite Ice Cube GIF. So nice one there. Alex also says Tice is really nice.
No, Alex, we don't use that word when describing Tice. We use synonyms like swell or pleasant.
Adequate.
Well, adequate feels like you're underselling him. But continue.
Rifesy. Yeah, we haven't really talked about Tatum so much, so Rifesy is a good entry into that. Tatum is so calm and controlled in the big moments. Amazing poise for his age. That is so right on the money.
And except when he's elbowing Fred VanVleet in the face.
Which, you know, that play, okay, I get it, it's a foul. But Tommy said it on the broadcast, and I agree to a point. You can't just stick your face up in somebody's face. He has to be able to move his arms, right? Like, he's got to be able to move his arms back and forth. That's, you can't just put your face, because otherwise, crazy people like Marcus Smart are just going to keep putting their chin in people's faces, and when they try to move their arms, just draw fouls. I was expecting it to be a flagrant one. I thought they were going to pull some craziness and make that a flagrant one.
Oh, the fans were very upset at that point and were screaming about how it wasn't a foul and there was no contact. Like, he clearly elbowed him in the face. You're right. It's like a difficult call to actually make because he was just playing basketball and actually like trying to get by him. There was definitely no malice involved whatsoever. But back to the subject of Tatum, he is so long. Like, he has Giannis-like length and quickness. He can get to the rim so quickly. And it's what seems to be his go-to move now is going to the left, but finishing, like, reaching around and, like, finishing with the right.
Yeah.
He's been damn good. It's just, even he hasn't, his three-point shooting has kind of come back to earth a little bit. But his length has just been so damn impressive on both ends of the floor. Defense, he's creating a lot of turnovers and just being kind of a menace. And then on offense, just the ability to kind of take those two steps, explode to the rim, and it feels like he has just this abnormally long hang time where he can, and especially finishing with his right hand, he can either, if he's coming from or driving right, does these cool like scoop shots that seem to very much work, and then if he's going left, he has that, just can reach around people and then do that. The play he made in the first half today, finishing in the corner with a spin move at the end of the shot clock, was, well, the guy was right in front of the media thing, and like, my mouth was just like hit the floor. It's like, damn, Jason Tatum, you are a very skilled basketball player. I'm impressed.
Let's look at Jason Tatum's first 14 games of his NBA career. Just so impressive. 13.5 points on 49% shooting, 47.5% from three, just about 83% from the free throw line. He's averaging just under 6.6 rebounds a game, I should say, an assist and a half. 0.6 steals, 0.8 blocks, but so he's some numbers defensively. But overall, 13.5 points, shooting 49% from three, from the field, 47.5% from three, and 82.5% from the line. That is just beautiful. Beautiful. He's only taking 9.5 shots a game. He's efficient. He is just doing amazing, amazing work.
I think they should give him the ball more, especially with the second unit who, like, talk about struggling in the half court. I feel like the bench mob in terms of half court offense is not great. I'm fine with just some, like, Tatum isolation, some Tatum just because we've seen his mid-range shooting is excellent, and we've seen him attacking the basket is quite good. So I think actually he needs more shots in this offense.
I would love to see more shots in the offense, but I don't think he's the type to go and demand that. Like I said in past podcasts, I think that he's just going to kind of take it as it comes, and slowly throughout the season, he will continue to get a little bit more aggressive. But for now, he's just going to kind of do what he does within the flow of the offense. So, you know, good for him. I think that when everybody's healthy and he sees that Al Horford is definitely a guy who's going to be taking shots, basically everybody that's been here before him, he's going to defer a little bit and kind of slowly take over. And fine. What he's doing right now works. The Celtics have won 12 straight games, so there's no need to really change it. Let him slowly evolve and get a little bit closer to the goal. Let's see. Next up on the tweets, old granddad, have you seen Valanciunas' hair? Think he qualifies as a sad boy? No? Oh, boy. Not the sad boy stuff again.
Yeah, we'll stick away from that. But, yes, but Jonas Valanciunas had a terrible game and it has an even worse haircut.
At Scrotesburg. At this point, the Celtics roster is a bunch of children on each other's shoulders and wearing trench coats. How early is too early for Coach of the Year campaigning?
It's already started. He's already won the award.
I agree. There's very little other choice at this point. Like, he's basically lapped the field. And look, the Celtics are sitting there at 12-2. The Pistons are right there at 10-3. That's a little nuts.
Maybe Stan Van is in the running as well.
Stan Van Gundy's in the mix too. Yeah, but I mean, these guys just—I don't know. I can't imagine at 12-2. They're gonna play what now? What's that? 14 games. So they have a pretty good head start on everybody. I feel like Detroit's going to come back to earth a little bit, but I suppose people will say that about the Celtics. So at this point, I think surprisingly the Celtics have such a good grasp on things, and the way they're playing, it seems pretty good. They're on their way to a top seed in the East. Like, it's hard to think now at this point that this team, the way they've been playing, are going to collapse. But I should shut up because I'm not jinxing it at all. One more before we get to the remaining junk. Our theme masks. This comes from at M. Burns 37. Our theme mask, i.e. hockey goalie mask, allowed in the NBA. If so, what should Kyrie's mask be? That would be great if you could airbrush a mask.
That would be amazing. Like those old hockey goalies masks, yeah, with the different like themes of the person. I don't know. I don't know if like we would even be able to figure out what Kyrie's masks mean because it would be so woke.
Yeah, I think it should be an old map of the earth when everybody thought it was flat.
Yeah, no, it could or just like a picture of Copernicus and really throw a loop. I mean, really, what if it's just Copernicus's face? Oh, man, that would be creepy as hell.
That would be nuts.
It would be so confusing.
All right, that's a nice transition into the rain and junk / junk drawer. Take it away.
All right, I feel like we mentioned a bunch of things tonight, so it's a short drawer. But apparently Wick Grosbeck was wearing a leather jacket with a tiger on the back, and so I have not seen it. I have not seen any pictures of it, but I saw some tweets about it. And I knew right then the Celtics were going to win when the owner was wearing a leather jacket with a tiger on it. That's just badass. Adam Himmelsbach tweeted this, but it's kind of funny that in Al's first game back from a concussion, they just put him through the pregame intros, which is just deafening music and strobe lights. It's like, that is not the best concussion protocol. Marcus Morris in the first half was wearing his giant headband, which just always makes me laugh. I don't know why. It looks like he's wearing a size 4X headband. Took it off for the second half, though. Not sure why, but big fan of the giant headband. Kyle Lowry tonight was just mad. He was mad the entire game. He was complaining the entire time. And, like, I just want to know why he's so mad, Kyle. Like, he is the mad rapper from, what's that? Kicking the Door. It's a Notorious B.I.G. song. There's like a skip before it where they just have a mad rapper and he's just going, man, why are you so mad? Kyle Lowry was just upset. Marcus Smart apparently used to have 15 dogs. We learned that tonight. That was very confusing. No explanation. He just said, yeah, I used to have 15 dogs. So,
okay.
That's it. That's all the junk I have. Sorry, I got distracted by the, the game got close and my ability to pick out nonsense got worse.
That's fine with me. One more tweet, and this is just for transition purposes. Addie Shep, big Aussie boat, and then he does the less than Gordon's playroom. So there was the tweet, there was the picture from Gordon Hayward's wife with Daniel Tice, a barefooted Aaron Baines, and Gordon Hayward, who seemed less than amused, in a big giant playroom that he's apparently built for his daughters. And just these guys were just hanging out in there. And I guess the thought here is, should we be doing Gordon's playroom versus the big Aussie boat?
I think it's a good idea. I feel like we've already built so much boat momentum.
Yeah,
momentum.
I like boat momentum. Yeah,
it's, you don't change boats mid voyage is the famous phrase that everyone says.
That's a very famous phrase.
Yeah. Although, I mean, if the playroom pick came out earlier, definitely. I love just how Aaron Baines was just not wearing any shoes and just was ginormous in that picture. It was great to see.
He looked very much at home in that playroom. He's just wearing shorts and barefoot, and he was happy. He was like, I think I'm going to play with this toy. Like, I really felt like he was playing with the toys. Oh, man. So let's do it. It's time for the big Aussie boat, and let's just address the controversy head on. Last week at this time, we said, no, actually, during the week.
It was during the week. Wednesday after the Lakers game.
And Aaron Baines was just awesome. And we said, I asked you, what does Aaron Baines have to do to not be on the boat this week?
I said, there's only one thing he could do, and that would be hurt a member of his own team and cause him an injury. And what happens on Friday
night? What does he do? He goes and inadvertently breaks Kyrie Irving's face. So now we have to ask the question. And the question that was posed to us on Twitter in the immediate aftermath of Friday night's injury, did Aaron Baines elbow his way off his own boat?
I'm going to say absolutely yes. He broke a man's face on his own team. I said there was one thing that would get him off the boat, and then he did that exact one thing. I feel like I can't just be making empty threats here. Like, there has to be some actual deterrence. No way he's getting on the boat. Not after that. Although I did like tonight that he was just not afraid to just hurt people. And I don't think it was intentional, but like three different Raptors just like had inadvertent contact with Aaron Baines. And because he's so giant strong and Australian, it just causes them so much pain.
So this is where, so you don't have him on the boat.
No, he broke Kyrie's face. I feel like that's a non-boat access for him.
So I'm going to trump you. I say he does go on the boat. He is my nominee for the boat. I am putting him on his own boat. Not only because of his early success, because the inadvertent side effect of Kyrie's broken face is that we're going to get cool mask Kyrie back. And for two weeks, we're going to have Kyrie with a mask and the potential, as people have tweeted, for not only masked, but masked and untucked jersey Kyrie, which will break the universe, rip a hole in the space-time continuum, and pull unseen powers from the basketball netherworld. So, to me, Baines broke somebody's face in the coolest way possible and has created a basketball god in masked, untucked Kyrie Irving. And the Celtics didn't lose. If the Celtics had lost two straight games, I would have agreed. But the Celtics still just went above and beyond and still won the two games without Kyrie. So I'm keeping Baines on the boat. And if we have 2 weeks of Batman Kyrie, then that's just even cooler.
Yeah, if we're crediting Baines with creating the masked untucked Kyrie, I feel like that, I still, for the record, I'd like to have an objection from me on the official record, just because I don't like rule breaking, but I'm not going to stomp my feet too much.
All right, so who's next on the boat?
Oh, it's got to be Tito. I mean,
Tito.
He's been great. He's knocking down threes, and plus, with this whole name thing, I feel like it's just my love for him has grown. So. I don't know. I don't see any objections to putting him on the boat.
I'm going to interrupt this boat broadcast just to say boo Shane Cross on Twitter at your Boston Celtics, who tweeted back at me that he fixed my Tito's vodka thing and he changed Tito's to Tito's. Boo! Boo! Shame!
Oh, it's such shame, a lazy Cross. Nickname.
Shame! Shame to you, boo.
Call him S-Cross.
S-Cross. S-Crow.
S-Crow.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Your nickname is Stupid Mortgage. S-Crow. Damn it. All right. Back to the boat. Now back to the boat. So Tito Three Sticks is on the boat. I am putting Jason Tatum and his sweet rookie moves on the boat. Because that dude is balling out, and his go-go gadget layups are just so cool to watch.
Yeah, and he was really good at the end of that Hornets game. Just came up with a lot of buckets in the clutch. I'd have to agree. He gets entry. My next nominee, the big German, Tice, yes. Pleasant as hell. He's been phenomenal. The way he plays defense and just his ability to go straight up and not foul, it's leading to so many blocks. He definitely deserves it because he's played some huge minutes in both of these games in basically the whole week. And it's really coming out of nowhere. But I just have been like pleasantly surprised by everything he's done on the court.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to build up to something. I think I want to put Shane Larkin on the boat because Shane Larkin has changed so many games. Just and he's just so unexpectedly impactful, and he did it again against Charlotte, and he just keeps coming in and changing the tone of games. That I want Shane Larkin to be on the boat.
Oh, that's he went 0-for-6 for night. Wasn't great in early in the Charlotte's game. I don't know. I mean, I do want to recognize his effort, but I don't know if he's – for me, he's an honorable mention.
Okay. I just want to say this. After 12 straight wins, why can't the whole team just be on the boat? Just take everybody.
It's as big as all of Australia. It definitely can fit the whole team.
Why don't we just say, screw it, everybody's on the boat. Let's just put everybody in the boat.
That's fine by me, as long as just noted objection that Aaron Baines shouldn't be on the boat for breaking rules.
Noted objection. We'll say Aaron Baines can be on the boat, but he doesn't get any of the booze.
That's fine. I can settle that. I feel like we've reached an agreement. I'm sold.
Great. So everybody on board the boat. After 12 straight wins, everybody gets on the damn boat. I love it. All right, let's wrap this up. I want to send a shout out because I'm actually in Rhode Island. I am taking a break from celebrating my niece's second birthday. So
shout out to your niece.
Shout out to Layla, who is 2. Actually, she will be 2 in a couple of days, but she's just been running around saying that she's almost 2, and it's just adorable. And I promised that I would shout out my nephews, Chase and Evan, because they want to be famous. They think that by me shouting them out on the Rain and Jays Locked On Celtics podcast, they're going to be famous. So
you got to start somewhere.
That's it. Evan and Chase, shout out to you guys. See, I told you I was going to do it. So shout out to everybody else who's celebrating a birthday. Shout out to everybody on the Boston Celtics. Let's all get on the boat and celebrate 12 straight wins. The Boston Celtics are 12-2 to start the season. Amazing work. Just wow. Next game up is Tuesday at Brooklyn, and we'll see how that goes and see if they can keep on rolling. And then the Warriors. Oh man, that Warriors game Thursday night is really just kind of making me wonder if that Tuesday game's a trap game. But we can talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about that tomorrow. For now, I want to thank everybody for listening. If you are not a regular subscriber, please do subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Search for Locked On Celtics. If you are a subscriber, remember, 5-star ratings, good reviews. Let us know. Let everybody know why they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are currently the top-ranked team-specific podcast on iTunes. We want to be better than that. We want to be the number one sports podcast on iTunes. So keep on rating. Keep on spreading the word. Share. Tell your friends that they should be listening to us. We are the Locked On Celtics Podcast, and we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.